The foregoing passage deals with ultimate reality. Its meaning is that, in the ultimate sense, the object of imputation is not findable. In this context, we find in the Heart Sutra phrases like, there is no physical form, no sound, no smell, no taste, and no object of touch. The mind, too, is not findable in the ultimate sense. Since in the ultimate sense such things are non-existent, there is no point examining whether they are permanent or impermanent. Ultimately, all phenomena, including the aggregates and so forth, are devoid of true existence. Within the notion of ultimate reality, things are devoid of true existence. In the same way, suchness, which is an attribute of phenomena, is also devoid of true existence. This is important. Even when we understand that phenomena, like physical form, are devoid of true existence, there is a danger of thinking that ultimate reality may have true existence. Quote, in this way, when the person does not firmly apprehend the entity of a thing as ultimately existing, having investigated it with wisdom, the practitioner engages in non-conceptual, single-pointed concentration, and thus the identitylessness of all phenomena is realized. End of quote. The above passage conveys what it means to realize selflessness. The wisdom realizing selflessness must ascertain selflessness. It is not simply a matter of no longer having any misconceptions about the self. For example, the mind conceives of things like physical form in various ways. There is a mind that conceives of physical form as having true existence, another that conceives of it as having the attributes of true existence, yet another that conceives of it with attributes lacking true existence, and again, one that conceives of it without assigning it any attributes of true existence or non-true existence. So the analyzing wisdom must discern the self to be refuted. After refuting that self, its opposite, selflessness, will be actualized.